The deal that you have made, that you have proposed to enlighten us, to give us wisdom and understanding, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you because today we will leave this place with another concrete understanding of your word and affect our lives thereby, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's just quickly run up to what we have to do today and then and not spend too much time. Like I said, we'll be brief today. All right, if you remember, a few weeks ago, we started talking about what I call the anatomy of prayer, and we emphasized a few points. The first one we emphasized, please pay attention to me closely because I want to run off a bit quickly. The first point we emphasized, well, is that life is controlled by three factors. Number one, we said, is what, if you remember, the purpose of God, thank you. The second one we said is the behavior of our hearts, the character of men. And the third one are the prayers of men. And those are the three most important things that will control this earth. And what we are discussing at this time actually are issues of the prayers that men pray. Because, of course, that's just the scope of what we have to discuss this time. Now, last time I made a special mention of something, and I think I should just say it again as we go on today. And that is the fact that with God, all men are not equal. I think we have to get that clear in our hearts. And that when it comes to prayer, God listens to prayers based on the person praying. There are a number of factors that decide whether God will listen to a prayer or he will not. One of them, of course, importantly, is whether it is something really that he wants to do. Please, I want you to follow this very closely. One is that, is that what God really wants to do? And secondly, sometimes God may propose to do something, or God is forced to do something. Now, get this. When I say God is forced, what I mean is that, remember, we gave an example that God said at a time, he looked for a man. I think we're reading from Ezekiel 22, verse 30. He said, I searched for a man amongst them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found none. Now, what does that mean? You see, when you look at God, you have to look at him in different aspects. There's a way, when we're reading about the character of God from the Holy Bible, you see sometimes God acts as if he doesn't know what's going to happen. Do you follow my point? So he acts as if he's a God that does not have a knowledge of the future. At other times, he acts as if he has a knowledge of the future. Do you follow what I'm saying? And then these are different aspects of God. And one of the two different aspects of God I want to just bring out from this scripture is one, that God is just. Do you follow what I'm saying? Just meaning that if somebody sinned, God is under compulsion to punish iniquity. He cannot just overlook it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, God is just. If somebody sins, God is under compulsion. According to the laws of this life, God must execute judgment upon the person. God is the judge of the earth. Do you follow my point? He is the judge of the earth. And far be it from the judge of this earth to do wrongly. And it is wrong for a man to sin and for you not to punish him. Do you understand my point? Now, that is one. But there is another issue. God is merciful. That is, as God will punish sin, sometimes he wishes not to punish sin. That's what the Bible calls long-suffering. Because, you see, if the person who's been sinning repents, there is what can be done about the sin that he has committed. Do you follow me? Now, but I should just make this point at this time, that whenever somebody sins, there must be payment for that sin. Did you hear what I said? Anytime somebody sins, there must be payment for the sin. But it appears like God does not demand that that person will be the one to pay for that sin, but there must be payment. It's as if you do something wrong on the earth, there must be a cleansing of the earth. The physical earth needs to be cleansed from the power of the iniquity that a man has poured upon the earth. Do you follow me? Now, so I will come back to that in a moment. So what we're reading here is that God said that according to judgment, I have to pour forth wrath upon this land. Do you follow me? That's just, if you have your Bible, you can open to it so you can follow me. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. I was reading from verse 30. Let me just run through it briefly, because I want to read down to verse 31. He said, and I searched for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. He said, thus I have poured out my indignation on them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord. Now, what I'm saying here is this. As a just God, there was an indignation and a wrath that he was going to pour upon the people. But as a merciful God, he didn't want to do it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, but for him not to do it, there must be a reason. There must be something that will come stronger than the power that is calling for vengeance by reason of the iniquity of the people. And God said, when that happens, where do I find it? I find it in one person. That's why he said, I search for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. That is, if I found one person, like last time we were discussing, that is one person that God needs. And that's why Jesus did not gather his disciples at any time to say, let us pray. He will pray alone. When it's time to pray, he will disperse the disciples and he will go to the mountain alone to pray. It's one person that God needs. Now, if this person will stand up before God and do certain things right, so those things we'll see in a moment, what will happen is that the judgment of God will be withheld from the people. Do you follow my point? Now, does that mean that sin has gone unpunished? The answer is no. Follow me very closely. What this person will do, let me just summarize it, is that the person will go to God and pray for the people. He will go and cry to God. There's something I think we should read. I think that should be from, okay, I'll come back to it later. I wanted to say something about, from Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 14. Now, please follow me very closely. I want, because, you see, remember at the beginning, I said what we are trying to do is to lay a proper foundation for prayer so that you will understand what it is to pray for and how to pray for it. Now, here I am explaining that if the person will come up to God and ask for mercy for that land, what will happen is that God's hand will be stayed from executing judgment. But that sin has not gone unpunished yet. Do you follow my point? It's just been suspended. It's like the person has a suspended sentence. You know, from physical things on this earth, you can really understand what's going on in the spiritual. If you watch American justice system very well, they can, I don't know what I do in Nigeria. They suspend a sentence. That is, you are sentenced to maybe for this rough driving or for knocking somebody down, 10 years imprisonment with hard labor. However, it's suspended for a certain length of time so that if for the next 5 years you don't commit any offense, then that sin will be, that judgment will have been overtaken. But if you now go ahead and slap somebody mistakenly and the person charges you for assault, that's it, you are going to jail for the sin that you committed beforehand. Do you understand my point? What God is doing here, therefore, is that he's suspending sentence. For example, if you remember that God went to Nineveh, and in Nineveh, Jonah, and he said 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And they said, no, this must not happen. Let us pray. Maybe God will have mercy. So they prayed and repented, and God's heart turned and did not bring down judgment. But I read somewhere that Nineveh was eventually destroyed. Do you understand the point I'm making? If you remember in the days of Jesus, he said concerning the Jerusalem, that the time will come that it will be, Jerusalem will be leveled down to the ground. The reason he said is that, you see, they had killed prophets, and he said he will send them more prophets so that all the sins from the time that Abel died, all right, from the hand of Cain, down to Zechariah who died in the temple there, all the sins will be brought upon that generation. That despite the fact that that sin had not been punished, it didn't mean that the sin had been forgotten. It was just hanging there. God, you see, let me tell you something about spiritual things. They are in measures. God sometimes pours them into cups. He will tell you about the prayer of the saints that they were feeling his censer. He will tell that the iniquities of the Amorite was not yet full. That is, there is a point that something will get to and judgment will have to come down automatically. And before it gets to that point, sometimes you may think that God has forgotten, but indeed he hasn't forgotten. Just that something is causing him to suspend the sentence for a certain period of time. Are you getting the point I'm making? Like I mentioned to us last time, if you read 2 Chronicles chapter 36, God said at a point in time, the people, they offended God so much that there was no longer any remedy. Now, I'm explaining something. I've not lost track of what I'm saying. I'm explaining that if God finds a man that will stand up before the land, that is between him and the land, to prevent the judgment of God, there are certain things that God will do, that man will do, and God will withhold judgment. But let me just say this in passing. That does not always work. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me give you an example. God spoke very clearly to Jeremiah. I'll just rush through that. I have a few references here. He said, just read them. Let's read that. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 11. Well, let me read it from verse 10. Thus says the Lord to these people, even so they have loved to wander. They have not kept their feet in check. Therefore, the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and call their sins to account. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That is, for a period of time, it appeared as if he had forgotten their iniquity. All right. In fact, the Bible says that because iniquity is not quickly avenged, men tend to persist in doing them. He said, verse 11, so the Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of these people. He said, when they fast, I am not going to listen to their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I am not going to accept. Rather, I am going to make an end of them by the sword, famine, and pestilence. There are a number of other references, but I don't want us to just waste too much time. If you read Jeremiah 7:16 also, he says the same thing there. He says, as for you, do not pray for these people, and do not lift up cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with me, for I do not hear you. That is, on this matter, you are not able to pray for these people. And the same thing we refer to in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 1, when he said, even if Samuel and Moses were to pray for these people, at this point, I will not hear. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, there are many factors that affect whether this man that will stand in the gap for the land will have success in praying or he will not. But what I want you to understand is that even when the person is going to have success, because God has said, at this point, if I found somebody, in the judgment for that land will have been withheld. It does not mean that the sin had gone unpunished. And I was saying that. Don't let me forget. Now, open to Romans chapter 3 and you will see what happened to the sin. There are many things I want to say. So for time's sake, I may just have to rush. I just make certain statements. Just believe me, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not deceiving you, even if we don't read the scriptures that are relevant. Now, I'll be telling you the truth. Romans chapter 3. I said in previous time that one day I will say something about the blood of Jesus that I hope I can say today. All right? It said from verse... let me just start from 24. I wanted to start from 21, but for time's sake, I'll start from 24. It said, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. He said, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, let me explain what I'm saying here. You see, every time men... Now, what the scripture was saying is this. If you have a New Living Translation, let me just read one line out. New Living Translation didn't bring out everything in it, but let me have it, please. Because the language of Paul here and the interpretation in virtually every version is quite difficult. So let me just read something, verse 25. It said, for God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. Now, let me just jump down. It said, God was being entirely fair and just when he did not punish those who sinned in former times. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? What he was saying here is this. If you look at it from the surface, God not punishing sin in former times may appear unfair and unjust. Like I said, as a judge of the earth, he must punish sin. But there are times he will withhold his hand from judgment. And Paul is explaining here, it is not because it was not just. It was still being fair. What just happened is that he was delaying the punishment for their sin until somebody will come and take the punishment for their sins. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, Jesus was not just, if you remember something, John the Baptist would say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole earth. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, Jesus died for the sin that were committed before he came. Are you hearing me? Sounds funny, but that's the truth. And for the ones that will be committed after him. That's why God gave them the blood of the animals as a sacrifice. Everybody that sacrificed as a remission for his sin. What he was doing, look, the Bible said it very clearly, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. What was happening was that the person was by that demonstrating his faith in the solution that God had for the sin of the earth. Do you follow the point I'm making? So that if God did not punish the person's sin, because the person sacrificed an animal, listen to me, it is not because an animal was able to cleanse away his sin. But what God is saying is that this man is of faith in Jesus Christ, though Jesus hasn't yet come. But God told him that this is how sin will be redeemed. You will remember that when David committed sin by numbering Israel, God didn't just overlook his sin when he said sorry. Don't forget that. What did God do? He told him to go and offer a sacrifice, and he told him the place. Do you understand my point? And where the angel stood in the air, they went there and offered the sacrifice. And that was what took away the iniquity from the land. That's what, by doing that, what they were doing was taking part of the sacrifice of Jesus that will come thousands of years after to cleanse their land at that particular point in time. Do you follow the point I'm making? Am I getting too technical? No, but this is a fact, all right? Please try and understand it. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. So, but now, having said that in passing, because I'm not sure I'll be able to come back to that, because I have so many other things I want to say. I was just explaining that, so if God is not punishing iniquity at that time, what he was saying is not that iniquity will go unpunished. It does not ever happen. Somebody must always pay penalty for the sin that is committed on this earth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is why after he came and saw Adam, he didn't say, Adam, okay, now I know you are sorry. All right? Let us now forget it and start again. No. There are so many factors involved. At that point, Adam had to leave the garden. And all God gave them to cleanse the earth from the sin that had been introduced by Adam was that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. That sin was taken away when Jesus came on this earth. Now, follow what I'm saying very closely. Now, there's another point I want to make as I'm going on, and that is the fact that everybody that sins cannot speak to God. Did you hear what I said? Now, it sounds very funny, but the fact is that without sin, you do not need any intercessor before the Father. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Without sin, you can walk in boldly and to the throne of grace without anybody standing for you. But the fact also is that every human being on earth, the Bible says, all have sinned and have fallen short or fall short of the glory of God. For that reason, you need somebody that is without sin to speak to God on your behalf before God can hear you. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? Now, listen to what I'm saying very carefully. Because, you see, as believers in Christ Jesus, there are certain things we have to understand. The Bible said that Jesus, open to Hebrews chapter 7. I want to make a point. Now, just follow me very closely. You will see where I'm going to. 7 verse 25. He said, hence also, he is able to save forever those who dare draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, if you go back to the earlier parts of John will say that if any man said he has no sin, he is deceiving himself. Do you understand? He said, but bear in mind that we have an advocate with the Father. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, let me tell you what, when I was studying on issues like this, I found out that the advocacy of Jesus with the Father was purely, I found out, purely on the matter of sin and iniquity. Did you hear what I said? Okay, open to the first John. Verse, chapter 2, verse, let me start from verse 8. Of chapter 1. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, that is, we do not need to be forgiven. That's what he's saying. We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. He said, my little children, I am not writing these things to you. I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Notice this. Not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Now, let me just stop there. Now, the point I'm making here is this. If anyone, you see, this is the way it is. Jesus is the intercessor that we have with the Father. Do you understand my point? You see, for you to be an intercessor with the Father, you must be seen as absolutely righteous in God's sight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because, you see, what the Bible said concerning the high priest was that when he will go to make intercession for the children of Israel, the first thing he will do is to offer a sacrifice for his own sins. Do you understand? Because based upon, you see, why didn't he just offer a sacrifice for his sins and everybody else? No. For him to qualify to offer sacrifices for the sin of everybody else, he must be without sin himself. Now, for him to be without sin, his own sin must be covered by another sacrifice. Are you getting the point I am making? Now, we won't spend all the time talking about those technical details, all right? But let's come to a point. Now, what Jesus is when he went before the Father, and where he still is till today, is that he went there as man. Listen, an angel cannot make intercession for you. Do you understand? Anybody that has died cannot make intercession for you. You know, there is a very funny thing that some of us practice. Saint Joseph, pray for us. I know people who do such things. It's nothing but a joke. It's a very loud joke when you pray to people who have died to make intercession for you. It is nothing but a pure joke. The only person that can make intercession for you before the Father has to be a human being like you. And that's why Jesus rose from the dead as a human being. And when his disciples came to him, he told them, touch me. I am exactly like flesh, like you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And then he now went in that same form and went to the Father, and he's able to make intercession for those who draw near to God by him. That is, no matter how much you seek after God, if you do not come with the name of Jesus in your mouth, you do not have a say before the Father, because anybody that has an iota of sin in his presence cannot be heard. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He cannot be heard. But Jesus, being the advocate before the Father for the person that draws near to God by him, can be heard because Jesus is there making an atonement for the sin of that person. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Now I'm coming to a point. Because this thing works, because the Bible says that we are co-workers with God. That is, on this earth, therefore, now listen, there are people who will not draw near to God through Jesus Christ, but they still need mercy. Did you hear what I said? They will not draw near to God through Jesus Christ, but they still need mercy from God. What happens therefore? God is very kind. What he will do is, because you see, this is an issue of righteousness. God will set standards of righteousness. Let me tell you something. Jesus told the disciples, now you will ask the Father. He said, now the Father loves you because you have loved me. That is what qualifies you as a righteous man before the Father, is the faith that you had in me while I was on earth. Righteousness has standards. I think we have discussed that in previous times. That is, there are things that God sets as a standard of righteousness. And based upon that, he declares somebody righteous or unrighteous. When Jesus was on the earth amongst the Jews, the standard of righteousness was to believe on him whom the Lord has sent. Do you understand my point? I was where I'm going today is I want to say something briefly about changing the course of a nation with prayer. I'm trying to explain that, you see, God is not depending on everybody that lives in that nation to change the course of that nation with prayer. He's not depending on them. Because there are things that people will say with their mouth that disqualifies them from coming to the presence of God for the nation they are trying to change. Now, follow what I'm trying to say. Now, so when God wants to do something in people's life, maybe somebody before God cannot come for himself. That's why you pray. A lot of people pray and pray and pray. But if you don't draw near to God by Jesus, Jesus said it very clear, I am the light of the world. Any good that will come upon anybody in this earth has to come by me. No one can come to the Father, he said, except by me. Now, we don't have time to go into all these details. You'll have understood that that thing didn't happen just because Jesus came. But it was an eternal law that God has set on this earth that nobody could fulfill until Jesus came. If you go and read Isaiah chapter 58, he explained that God looked at the amount of wickedness on the earth, and there was no one there to intercede. Therefore, his own hand brought salvation unto him. That is, he packaged himself and came down in the form of man. He couldn't do it as a spirit. He had to come down in the form of human flesh to be able to do it. Do you understand the point I'm making? So what I'm saying here is this. What Jesus was doing was something that God had prepared that nobody fitted until he came. And he explained, you see, if you study, well, I'm sure most of you don't, but I've looked around a bit. You'll find out that every major religion on earth has one person that they are running after. Do you understand my point? They have. And that is not because they are confused. It's because they know a little bit of truth. Just that they don't know enough of the truth. That's just the way it is. In fact, if you look at the traditional African religions, come to the Western Nigeria and see. The gods that they served were living people at the time. Do you understand my point? They were living people. If they tell you about Ogun, Ogun was not a spirit. It was a human being. Do you understand? They tell you about Obatala. They tell you about Oya, people like that. They will tell you the kingdoms they reigned over. They are not spirits. They were people that lived. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that's the reason why all these religions tend to have things like that. The one that interested me the most is the these people, what they call them, Ekanka. They have what they call the God man, what they call the Mahanta. That is, so, look, that's just the way life is. The confusion they have is the fact that they have not discovered that the real God man is Jesus Christ himself. But this, the logic behind that means the foundational spiritual principle behind it is that to approach unto God, you go through another man. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Except that this person has to be purely perfect. Do you understand? Now, you could have gone on your own, except that you cannot be purely perfect. So God reserved a particular space for somebody who will be perfect, purely in his presence, who will be able to admit other people to his presence. That's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. No one can come to the Father except through me. It wasn't a joke. It was just a fact. It wasn't a matter of pride. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Okay. Now, but let's come back to another thing. After Jesus now did finish that, he said something. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, I have left you on this earth also to be intercessors for men on this earth. Are you getting the point I'm making? Because you see, men on the earth, they wouldn't need anybody if they could come to the Father themselves. That is, what I mean is that if they had the faith in Jesus, they wouldn't need anybody to come to the Father. Jesus is enough as an advocate for them. But most, like Jesus himself said, was it Peter? Or who said it again? All men do not have faith. Is it Paul? Was Paul? Thank you. Is there, not all men have faith. So what do we do for men that don't have faith? We pray for them. Do you understand my point? Okay. Now, I hope you are following what I'm saying. Now, the principle, therefore, is that God has left a people on the earth. The ability to draw near to God for other people is what makes you a priest. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, let's open to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let me explain something there. Now, what was it saying? But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The point I want to make from here is this. Is that God has called the body of Christ on this earth what? A royal priesthood. That is, they have been declared righteous as long as they approach the Father by through the Son, Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you have gotten that to that up to that level. That is, if they didn't have the faith in Jesus, they wouldn't have an approach to the Father. Do you understand me? Now, many people in times past have tried to approach the Father through various means. Like, there's a teaching I have on that. I call it the supremacy of Christ. All right? Very soon, I think I should hang it somewhere on the website so everybody can read it. Now, but you see, they try. Everybody tries. Buddha tried. Everybody tries all kinds of things. But God, in his mercy, when he sees the heart, is a very merciful God. He will do the best he can do for each person. Do you understand what I'm saying? But then, what he was planning at that time was not people to approach unto him. That doesn't work, because for you to approach unto God, you have to be without sin. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And since they were not without sin, it wasn't possible. So, but what he could do was to approach unto men. So we tell the children of Israel that I was found by those who were not even seeking me. Do you understand the logic there? All right? But it's not as if they were not shouting. I just shouted to them, here am I. That is, you were not looking for me, but I know what you are looking for. I give you a way by which you will find that thing you are looking for. That's why he sent Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, do you understand what you are reading? The one said, I don't understand. Then Philip gave him an understanding so that he could not approach unto God directly. Do you understand? Because Jesus has made a way for him to approach. But don't let me spend all the time on that. What I want to emphasize is that now, for those who have approached unto God by the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been declared righteous, what God is saying is that for the rest of the earth, the good that will come upon the rest of the earth will come through them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, they are the ones that can now approach God for this earth. They are the ones that can approach God and speak favorably concerning the earth in the presence of God. That is, if God wants to do anything now on this earth, he's waiting for them to speak before he can do anything about the earth. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, let me come down home. This is where I'm coming to. 2 days ago, I picked up my phone, my MTEL line, and it was dead. So I thought that MTEL is dead in town. But when I drove out from my area, I found out that it was working full blast in town. So I suspected that the mast serving our area is bad. So I whined about it on day 1, whined about it on day 2, that was yesterday. And then I was driving home. Something dropped in my mind. You have not said anything to God about the mass that is dead. Did you hear what I said? Listen. There might be 10,000 people living in that area. And maybe you have about 2,000 empty lines there. Everybody will sit down and be grumbling and whining. But nobody will say anything to God concerning the mass that is dead. Now, are you following what I'm saying? Let's come back to home. You know, what I kind of want to talk about is, but I don't have so much time left, but I think I've laid the foundation. What I want to discuss with us is how to shape, or let me say, the responsibility that God has given to the body of Christ in shaping the events that are in the nation, a nation like Nigeria. That is, God is saying that men will continue, remember our spiritual Newtonian law, that men will continue walking on the path to destruction until an external force is applied to return them and compel them to go in another direction. Are you following what I'm saying? And that external force is what? The prayers of men. And I explained to us last time, it is not everybody that can open their mouth and speak in God's presence and God will hear. I don't think we should go over that again. But what I was going to explain today is that, you see, anyone who has not, listen, there are two kinds of believers. There are three kinds of people. There are natural men who does not understand the things of God. Then there are those who are believers. Amongst believers, there are those that are just like natural men, who the Bible calls carnal. Do you understand what I say? That is, there are three kinds of people. Believers, non-believers. Amongst believers, there are the ones that are essentially like non-believers and the ones that are believers. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, if a believer walks exactly like those on the earth, he also has... That's what John said when he said the man is walking in what? In darkness. Now, having said that, get this clear. God is saying that before I can effect any change in your environment, in your nation, in your homes, in your places of work, what I need primarily is somebody who I call of the royal priesthood, who has an approach to God concerning that matter. Do you understand me? Now, there's another thing that qualifies the person to pray. Let me just explain this. The person must be touched with the feeling of the infirmity. I'm using King James English. Open to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Let me just explain that very briefly. First thing I've established is that God needs people on the earth to speak concerning a situation. And those people must be people that have an approach before God. And the approach to God is righteousness that is found now by faith in Christ Jesus. The reason why they are righteous is because Jesus is there making intercession for them before the Father. And you see, he makes intercession only for those who are approaching towards God by him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you follow my point? That is, he's not praying for, if you are a believer and your brother is not, he's not praying for your brother. He's praying for you and he expects you to take the case of your brother up before God. Do you understand the point I am making? Get that point very clear. So you find that God has set all of us as critical instruments of change in our environment. Now, we keep on saying this because that is actually God's message for the nation Nigeria at this point in time. Believers, what they do is complain. You know, someone, when you hear believers talk, you want to puke. You know what I'm saying? They just sit down there, this nation is useless. Obasanjo is a very terrible person. In fact, these senators are stupid. You abuse everybody from morning till night. God said, don't worry. Stupid, they shall remain until you get up and begin to pray for wisdom for them. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. I said she opened somewhere. 4:15, all right. It says, since, no, from, is that 15? Okay, 4 from verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest. Don't forget the role of the high priest. You understand? Remember the role of the high priest. Okay. He said, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Or King James says, our infirmities. He said, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He said, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Why I read that is I wanted to understand something. Maybe we should just read, is this one necessary? Just anyway, I believe we all know where it is. Just the same thing. From where? Something similar to that. I don't think. Let's just read verse 17. It said, therefore, he had to. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Let me start from verse 16. He said, for assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made
Notice that expression. That is, God was not planning for his help to be for angels. His help for whom? For whom? For the descendants of Abraham. What's the next line? No, look at your Bibles, please. What is the next line? Therefore, he had to be. That's the expression I'm looking for. He said, therefore, he had to be made. That is, if he was going to be a help to the descendants of Abraham, he had to become like one of them. Are you getting the point I'm making? It had to become like one of them. It said that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. What am I saying here? That God has chosen that before somebody can have an effect or an impact in an area, he must have the feeling that comes from such infirmity. Do you follow my point? That at this point, it is worthless for American Christians to gather and pray for prosperity in Nigeria. It won't have any effect. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is the reason why God has planted you here, is that if your car does not break an axle falling into a pothole, potholes won't pain you. Oh God, you are not getting my point. You know, we preached the gospel before that there will be darkness in the world, but children of God will be in light. Listen, what he said really is that you that have light, arise and shine, for your light has come, and Gentiles will come to your light. That is, if you have light, people around you must feel it. That is, before you can affect people, you must be touched with the feeling of their infirmities. I was talking to a brother recently, and he said, I was planning to go abroad, so I said, what's the purpose? What's your reason? I just want to know. I like to just know real reasons, all right? Because don't sit down and think that everybody that takes a visa has sinned. Of course not, all right? Because David Livingstone took a visa to come to Africa those days, and he didn't sin. He did righteously. Do you understand my point? So, what is the purpose? He said, I want to have the best in life, he told me. I said, that is good, but I want to give the best in life. That's my own. That's what I told him. As for getting the best, that's not a problem. But as for giving the best, that is very noble. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? But before you can give the best, the Bible is saying here, you have to be touched with the feeling of the things you're talking about. That is, you cannot be moved. You know, last time I was explaining something to us here. That 1 million people, how many died in Rwanda and Burundi? You would discuss it over a plate of soup. You know, you'll be eating and you're feeding fat. These people are very wicked. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of people dead. What does that tell you? It does not move you. But if your brother falls down a stair, that is staircase, and bruises his legs, your appetite is affected. Why? You can be touched with the feeling of his infirmity. But the other people, you really don't know them. I've told you, except God plants a supernatural burden in my heart, I will never pray for Libya again. Is it a sin? No, but I know it doesn't have effect. Me praying for Libya now doesn't have any effect. Since I use the word supernatural body, let me just explain. There are spiritual manifestations that happen. Let's get that clear. Do you understand my point? God can plant a burden in somebody's heart. Those are spiritual manifestations. But natural things, that is, things that work normally, you cannot pray effectively for something that doesn't bother you, something that does not move your sleep. Do you understand the point I am making? That is, the Bible is saying very clearly, well, let me just summarize what I've said so far. That is, if you are going to pray to change the course of anything, you must be touched by that thing. Otherwise, God will need to supernaturally impose a burden upon you. And if he doesn't, you know, those days I used to wonder, what do you mean by burden? Now I understand what it means. Burden is very simple. It's that thing you have when your son is sick. Do you understand my point? That is burden, which you don't have, though you are a pediatrician and there are 26 children in the world. You see children with leukemia, it doesn't move you. You are just treating them. But your own child gets malaria. You lose more sleep on the child that has malaria than the one that has leukemia. That is simply burden, the one that is touched with the feeling of his infirmity. I've said it before. All the pray for me. Somebody will write a letter. The one big man. Pray for me. And he'll be reading testimony that when we got this letter, I don't know. Look, listen to me.
Listen to me. I'm not saying those testimonies they read on television are not true. I'm not saying they are not true. Oh, do you understand my point? There are diversity of manifestations, I know. But I won't write a stranger letter that, you know, a man is in America. Because I'm watching him on TBN. I now email him a letter about the problem that happened in my backyard. Listen, it will not have any effect. I'm sorry to spoil your faith in that area. I wanted to say something, but I shouldn't say it. No. Hey, excuse me, leave it. Leave it. Let's just go on. All right? Now, but I want to understand something. Derek Prince, and I suggest all of us you read the book. In fact, to me, if you don't read that book, you'll miss a lot of things that I would like to share with us at this period, but I don't have all the time. Maybe we'll continue next time. But if you can, lay your hands on his book. I don't know whether that's the exact title, but Changing World Events Through Prayer, something like that, by Derek Prince. Afterwards, you can ask me later. I will confirm the title. I have a compilation of some of his books in this book titled Derek Prince on Experiencing the Power of God. That one is inside. And I've listened to his tape. I think I have the tapes in my house by Derek Prince on this issue. And I think that everybody should read them, listen to them. Let me just explain something. He talked about how God gave him a burden to pray or a prayer to pray about different issues. One of them was during the Second World War. Another one, he talked about politics in America and things. During the Second World War, he was a soldier there. Do you understand my point? At the time those things were happening in America, I was talking about, he had become an American citizen. And based upon the prayer that this man prayed, listen to me, the Watergate crisis happened. Did you hear what I'm saying? Based upon the prayer that he prayed, there was this general, what's his name again? I don't know how to pronounce his English names. Is it Montgomery or something? How do you pronounce that word? Montgomery, okay. The man was appointed the general to command one particular phase of that war because of the prayer of men like him. For time's sake, we will not go, but please, I recommend you go and read the book. Do you understand? Or listen to the tape. It really affects you. But what I want to leave us with today is that the same thing has to be done concerning Nigeria as a nation. Listen, I have gone through all these things I've been saying to let you know that it is not the congregation of 10 million people at one large ground, everybody coming to pray for a miracle that will change the nation. You know, what you are, look, I'll send the WF coming into town. You know, he came yesterday. We're discussing. I told somebody that, that the WF is in town, but I'm not going there. He said, why? I said, there's nothing wrong with it. It goes. In fact, I would like to go and buy his tapes, his teachings. I said, but it's a crusade, so I'm not going. She said, what's wrong with crusades? I said, there's nothing wrong with crusades. It's meant for the sick, the lame, the blind, the lost, and I'm none of the above. Do you understand my point? That WF Kumi is not like to be preaching to me when it gets to those grounds. I said, if he was organizing teaching services, ministers, conferences, maybe I'll go. I'm not a member of Deeper Life, and I really don't like Deeper Life as a congregation. I'm not afraid to say it. Most people don't like them anyway, but they are still Christians, all right? But I love Brother Kumuyi himself. The man has faith in God. God has honored him over the years. There must be something about him that God loves. And I think you should love what God loves, all right? But I don't like Deeper Life as a group of people, all right? Okay. The reason that they don't like me, really, that's why I don't like them back. But I love them with the love of the Lord, all right? Okay, so I explained to the person that, see, I am not likely to go there because it's meant to meet the lost at the point of their need. Do I look lost to you? No, really, I'm not lost. I've been found. Thank you. God bless you. Do you understand my point? No, really. I said, listen, it's not for me. And I wanted to understand that that's not where God is changing the nation from. Because everybody that's congregating, that's what I just gave as an example. Every crusade ground is filled with people that can't yet speak strongly before God. The best they can draw from him is the intercession of Jesus Christ for their own personal problems. Do you understand the point I'm making? But that God is raising men. And look, listen, most of them will not be preachers. Get my point. And that's why I'm happy to be teaching it like this. That in the corner of their rooms, first, listen to me. If you tend to run away from the calamity, forget it. You're not going anywhere. Tony Bakari told a story once. When he had a strong suspicion of some things that was going to happen, well, he felt that's after Abdul Salami made the broadcast and all that, he felt that trouble was coming upon the nation. So he arranged to get his family and himself out of the country. And God said, if you move, I cut your head. And I didn't tell him like that. But God frustrated his plan and planted him back in Lagos. Say, oh boy,
you are not going anywhere.
Do you understand my point?
You are not like Black Badger that said, I'm sorry for all of you, and it's in Nigeria. Oh, you don't hear that his song. You're going to listen to Black Badger a bit to help your life. All right. No, I'm talking to Kingsley, not all of you. And just Kingsley.
Now, what I'm saying is that if it is not us, then it doesn't have any effect. Do you understand the point I'm making?
If the passion, listen, the people I know that God will hear their prayer the most, I have people's names in my head. I just want to mention those ones on tape concerning the country because I have spoken with them. I know of their faith in Jesus Christ and I know what they are ready to do to waste and pour upon this land that you call Nigeria. If they rise up to pray, God will hear. Do you get the point I'm making? So I want us to understand, because what I was trying to, I went through everything I explained to let us know that men are in sizes. Like Bishop Oyedepo would say, life is in phases and men are in sizes. There are sizes that pray concerning nations. There are sizes that are still praying, give us this day our daily literal bread. Do you understand my point? Yeah, I was teaching the other day in church and it dawned on me that Jesus probably never said the Lord's Prayer. I made a joke. I said, it's a poem he wrote for the disciples. They said, Master, teach us to pray. He wrote a poem and gave it to them. He said, go and be chanting that to help your life. But as for him, when he goes to pray all night, has it crossed your mind that he couldn't have been reciting that poem? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. That was for Peter, James, John, all those boys, you know what I'm saying? All the boys. As for the men, they will pray all night. When they come down from the mountain, there's fire in their eyes. And devils see them coming and start flying in every direction. Because the case they were holding before God all night was concerning the man that was devil-possessed. So the moment he appears, he comes with an embodiment of the power of God to drive away that devil. So the moment he appears, the devil is feeling the vibration. So he starts shouting. Are you getting the point I'm making? Are you getting the point I'm making? There are those who have committed themselves to a particular land. Look, listen. Let me say it again. God doesn't just hear everybody because they talk, and it's not the arguments that make weight with God. People say, argue your case, go and study the scriptures and come like a lawyer before God. God says, where is your law degree first? When did I call you to the bar to talk on this matter? Do you understand the point I'm making? No matter the arguments I have now, I can't go and knock the door of the Supreme Court that I want to argue a case. They will look at me like, Doc, are you all right? Don't you have colleagues that are psychiatrists? Maybe you should go and see one. Are you following the point I'm making? That is the way it is with God. There is a time he calls you to the bar that makes you a God's counselor. You know, you have Queen's counselor. You have to be a God's counselor. Based upon the work you have had with God before that point. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. That is, when God was asking Abraham, about 10 righteous people, you will understand that the Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of one righteous man avails much. And then it describes Elijah as that one righteous person. Okay, Elijah had how many prophets that are not bad? God had how many prophets that are not bound down to Baal? How many? 7,000. But how many of them prayed for God to shut the heavens? None of them. Only Elijah. It's not being a prophet that we're talking about. You understand what I'm trying to say? But there is a work the man had with God. That God, the guy woke up one morning and said, okay, you people won't serve this my God, Shani. The other ones were in caves. You people won't serve this my God, Shani. You won't drink water until you start serving God. Because Elijah, I don't know who sent you, but I confirmed the word of my messengers. Are you getting the point I'm making? What I'm saying is this. Let me close. Because I promise that I'll finish at this time, and it's that time now. What I'm saying is this. God is raising you and I up, not only to come and sow seed in the land, physically. We've talked about that when we're talking about sowing in tears. But also, so that because of your faith in God and your work before Him, they will say, calamity is about to befall Lagos State. Say, God, I'm planning to stay there for the next 5 years. And God will say, okay, Victoria Island won't sink again. I was planning to sink it before. I said, God, how can you sink it? The new house I built there, who will live in it? Listen, 100,000 people may shout and scream, and one little man somewhere will whisper, and God will hear him. And concerning that, concerning the other people, he'll be saying, why is there quiet everywhere? Meanwhile, they are shouting. But one little man will whisper, God said, there's so much noise in heaven. What does he want? Are you getting the point I'm making? When the angel, read Daniel chapter 9, when angel came to answer Daniel, from the day you started speaking, he said you were heard. Now I have come because you are highly esteemed. It's the way a man has been walking with God that describes his estimation before God. Do you understand my point? The sacrifices he has made for God, God is recording it. And the day will come, God will say, I'm destroying everybody. Moses will say, excuse me. I don't think you should. He said, Moses, all right, because you said so. Kenneth Hagin said something some time ago, and it's now some of those things are tying together. He said he had a vision of the Lord once, and he told the Lord that he's always had this feeling that his wife was going to die early. And the Lord said, that is true. She's going to die early. He said, I don't want her to die. I like her. I don't want another wife. So God said, no problem. She will not die again. He said, thank you. That was the end of the matter. Before then, the woman was feeling, I think it was around that time. Now, sometimes I've not read some of stories sometimes, so I want to confirm the story. Read these books. You know, they're enlightening. Kenneth Hagin will bless your life, like, you know. I mean, it will really bless your life. Says, wife had a double goiter. Was at that time. There are times that the thing was almost choked, and she was afraid to go for surgery because she felt she won't come out of surgery. And that was the truth. She wasn't going to come out. But after that discussion with the Lord, Kenneth Hagin told her, no problem, you go for surgery. You'll be fine. And she understood it. She went for surgery and she was fine. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now he used to say, he said God told him something. If only my children will understand. All they need to do is ask. Do you follow my point? But I noticed one thing. I said there are three kinds of human beings. There are natural men, there are believers, and amongst believers, there are carnal believers. There are those who do not listen to me. It's not just to make up your mind to ask. There is a capacity you develop in your heart before God that even allows you to open your mouth to ask. We did not allow Abraham to go below 10 people when he was praying. Oswald Chambers said there was a restraining power of the Spirit that did not allow him to ask for 5. Do you understand the point I'm making? That God is saying, if you walk with me, I will bless you. But that is not the point. You'll be so blessed, you'll be a blessing. What do I mean? That I said, I want to prosper Nigeria, but I need somebody to stand as a watchman upon its walls and not give me any rest until I establish Nigeria as a praise on the earth. Do you get the point I'm making? As at now, listen to me. Nigeria is condemned to greatness. Do you understand my point? Yeah, because I, teaching you sincerely, I live here. I have asked the Lord for favor concerning this nation. I am not afraid of 2007. What will happen is that we will beg God concerning 2007. And God will say, you know, 2007 is when you are changing. People are already afraid. Is it going to the north or going to the south or to the east? Listen, let it go to Sokoto State. I don't care. Do you understand my point? Or go down to the south-south of the southern sides of the south zones. Really, it makes no difference. We will not give God any rest until he establishes Nigeria as a praise on the earth. If somebody is believing me, say amen, please. Amen. Listen, that's what it means to shape. Look, like I said, I don't want to think beyond this time we have taken. We'll have a lot to discuss, so maybe next time we'll continue. But please, before then, grab a hold of Derek Prince's book, Shaping History Through Prayer. You will find out that Derek Prince, the prayers he prayed that changed nations were very simple. It was not the incantations that we Christians like to recite now. You understand my point? According to Matthew chapter 115. Sorry, is it Psalms? The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. You quote it. Say, God, you remember that in Proverbs chapter 25 you said, and in Genesis chapter 15 you said, and according to the concatenations of all these revelations we come before you today, rising above, and you shout. God said, okay. Who is talking? And Jeremiah said, nobody. Say, good. Derek Prince said, God gave him prayers as simple as, God, give us leaders that will establish righteousness and punish wickedness. No tongue. I've told that half of those tongues people speak in all night prayers is tongues born out of nothing else to say. They say the spirit is bearing an infirmity. You don't even have any infirmity. You are keen up for a visa anyway. What infirmity do you have? You have condemned the nation with your tongue. What infirmity?